In spring of 1975, Brother Lee began what would be 49 messages on the life study of the Gospel of John. When he came to the end of that life study, he had the feeling, the burden, to provide two more messages as a supplement. The first one was on the ultimate consummation of John. In brief, that is God in Christ coming through incarnation to be everything to man, to build God into man. And then man in Christ going through death and resurrection to become the Father's house. This is man built into God for the fulfillment of John 1:51, which is the vision that was given to Jacob concerning God's building. But even as marvelous as that message was, you would think that was the conclusion. He gave one more message, and the title of that message was Bearing Fruit by the Overflow of the Inner Life. Amen. One characteristic of a genuine apostle, one who has become a reproduction of Christ, is that their heart for man, it never wanes. It's with them all the time. They carry it with them day and night. So even after such a training as a life study, our brother had the feeling to cover this matter. And we need to know, with a mature God-man, there's three characteristics. They're genuine, they're accurate, meaning they're exact, and they're very strict with themselves. They do not exaggerate. What they say, they're not dramatizing, is really what is in their heart. Based upon that, in the opening paragraph of that message, he made a very remarkable and profound statement. For more than 50 years, this illustration concerning the vine has never been far away from my consideration. For 50 years. From the moment that he was saved, the matter of the vine was with him day and night. And that's really the spirit and the heart of this message. It's not going to be exciting. Really, I'm looking to the Lord that he would impress you that for the remainder of your life on the earth, this matter concerning the vine and the branches will not be far away from you. It will be with you all the time. It will just be a vision that governs you, that controls you, that directs you, that motivates you to go on and on and on. You can't will it to happen. Only the spirit of reality can apply this into your being. But in addition to that, he had a particular statement. Christ as the true vine with the Father as the husbandman is the meaning of the universe, of human life, of human history, of the church, and of the Bible. If you were to ask me, what is the meaning, what is the intrinsic significance of these matters? Even if you gave me many, many guesses, I would have never come up with this statement. But I'm thankful for the ministry because we're being perfected under the ministry. Our brother can say, according to his realization, again, which is the reproduction of God in Christ, can say that Christ as a true vine with the Father as the husbandman is the meaning of the universe, of human life, of human history, of the church, and of the Bible. So of the universe. Everything that was created, the billions of items that were created, all that is so that he can grow on the earth, the only planet that can sustain life on this earth. He can have a vine with many branches to be the organism of the processed and consummated triune God to bear fruit for his expression. Amen. If you were to remove this true vine from the universe, the entire universe, I don't know how many galaxies, all of it would be vanity. All of it would be empty. It would have no meaning. But he also said this is the meaning of human life. So anytime we're abiding in the vine, we're in the Lord, that what you're doing there has meaning. It's a part of the New Jerusalem. But conversely, any moment that you're out of the vine, you're in the self, you're in the flesh, just in your own things, that moment is not worthy to be remembered. That will not be a part of the New Jerusalem. So I had a choice when I was coming out here on Saturday, when I was driving to the airport, waking up early. On the middle of my drive, I get an email. The flight was delayed due to a mechanical issue, 3 hours. At the airport, I had a choice. I was either spend these 3 hours in the vine, receiving something that is worthy, that is life, enjoyment, worthy of the New Jerusalem, or I can choose to just be in myself, be in whatever, and miss the Lord. But thank the Lord graced me. Those 3 hours were spent in the divine romance. But we have a choice. This is the meaning of human life. It is also the meaning of human history. So history is unfolding. We're all part of it. The human history is unfolding around us all the time. You have a choice. Will you just be in the outward human history, or will you be in the kernel of that, the divine history, a part of the vine? Now you're a branch, a part of this corporate vine spreading to all these kinds of countries to bear fruit for the glorification of God the Father. Of the church, the meaning of the church, because we know the church as redeemed humanity, that's just the frame. It is the life, the organism that is within the church, the life that is in you, the organism that is the meaning of the church. So on the other hand, the true vine, on the other hand, is the body of Christ. So the body is the significance of the church, and it gives the church meaning. Apart from the body, the church is without meaning and is without meaning. It's meaning. It's empty and without meaning. So there are saints, perhaps many, many saints in the church life, your age, who are just coming, but they're actually not touching the meaning of that church life. And we're concerned because if you don't touch the meaning, if you don't sense it, if you don't touch the life aspect of the church, it's just a matter of time before you don't go on anymore. Okay? So we're very burdened that you would be brought into the reality of the body, to at least seeing the vision of the body, so that you can give your whole life to know the body and to be built up into the body. And lastly, the vine is also the meaning of the Bible. How can we say this? Because the Bible testifies concerning Christ. Christ is the true vine, but he's not just a true vine in himself. In resurrection, he has been enlarged to include all of us. So we are all parts of the corporate Christ. That's why the Bible is Christ and the church. But with that said, I need to make mention of something so that we're adjusted in our understanding. We know from human history, from the period of 500 to 1500 was the Dark Ages. The Lord's recovery took a definite form with the work of Martin Luther. The Lord raised him up. And all you have to do is, talk to Juan Luis about Germans. The Lord had to go, use that brother. The Germans are fervent for the Lord, okay? But the recovery began with Martin Luther. He recovered the truth concerning justification by faith. But at a certain point, the matter of the church there got mixture with the state, so the Lord needed to go on, because these state churches became empty state churches, okay? So the Lord raised up a group of people called the mystics. They were still in the Catholic Church. So this is Brother Lawrence, this is Madame Guyon, and all these ones. They had a genuine understanding concerning the indwelling Christ, something of life in their spirit, okay? They couldn't put it into that in words, but those are facts. After that, the Lord went on to recover the church life through Zinzendorf, okay? That's just the rudimentary of the proper church life. After that, the Lord, it seemed like he raised up the British Brethren to recover more of the truth that had just been started with Martin Luther. But my point is, after the British Brethren, it seemed like the Lord was not pleased that all these truths would remain on one continent. He raised up actual evangelical spiritual giants that would bring the name of Jesus to many, many places all over the world. That is a genuine recovery of the Lord that he did. And that included people like William Carey, who went to India, David Livingstone, who went to Africa, Charles Finney, the American Revival, Hudson Taylor, at the age of 22, he went to China for 51 years, C.H. Spurgeon, the British Baptist pastor, D.L. Moody, we're just talking about in breakfast, he saved over 750,000 people. My whole point is, This was a genuine recovery of the Lord. He needed this to bring the word of Christ all over the world. But our God is mysterious. And just listen to this. While we were in Fuzhou, we noted the fact that in the past century, God raised up many spiritual giants, and all of them were outstanding people. From 1820 until now, many spiritual giants were raised up. Yet strangely, among us today, we see very few spiritual giants. It seems as if the spiritual giants are all gone. Today we see the work of gospel preaching being done not through the so-called great evangelists like Charles Finney and Stanley. It is not easy to find giants like these anymore. It seems that God is taking a different way today. Today is a day of the service of the church and not the service of the ministers. It is no longer, saints, it is no longer a matter of individuals preaching the gospel, but a matter of the church preaching the gospel. And in this age of godlessness, it is likely that our brother Billy Graham will be the last great evangelist ever on human history. Likely. That's because the Lord is moving on. If the word of God is going to be spoken, it's not going to be through spiritual giants like this anymore, okay? It will be through the churches in the Lord's recovery. Because he's recovering the body testimony. And if the churches, which is our commission in the Lord's recovery today, if we do not preach the gospel, which is the high gospel, actually the word of God will not be going out. There will be many things out there that might seem like it's something, but the Lord, what he's doing in his recovery today, in the present day, is a recovery of the body testimony, which is every member of the body preaching the gospel, and for the sake of this message, meaning every branch, spreading forth to bear fruit, to save to gain people, to save people for God's economy. Amen. If he does not have a way through us, he will have no way. So this is God's need today in his recovery. So what does it look like when you're a branch abiding in the vine? This is my spiritual father. He recently put a writing out concerning his father. He was the first co-worker in Taiwan. He went there before Brother Lee did to kind of break up the ground for Brother Lee to go. He was the first full-timer. And I just want to read you a little bit to give you a sense what a branch in the vine looks like to change your concept. His English is not that good because he wasn't raised here. But I'm going to read it as is. Just forgive some of the stuff. As a child, Father liked to take me to visit small localities, cities, okay? When living in Yilan City, I was 10 years old. Father took me to a little fishing village named Baifang Nao. Back then, we have to take the train first, then by car, lastly a stretch of mountain road. Father and son on the mountain ridge. Sun shone down, darkening the silhouettes. Slowly, we arrived. When my family lived in Ganshao City, Father once took me to a nearby place called Yanqiao town for a meeting. To meet, people need to bring their own stools. The brothers and sisters there rented a place with some chairs made of bricks. After the meeting, they entertained us magnanimously with wonton soup. After dark, Father and I took the bus home, just the two of us as passengers on that empty bus. Later on, I understood why Father liked to bring me to visit small, remote places. He doesn't just want me to serve full-time for life. He also wanted me to propagate in small places like him. So he raised me young in this way so that I get accustomed to the environment. At the summer training of 1995, Brother Lee invited me to his home in Anaheim to fellowship with him. He especially mentioned my father, saying, "Your dad is a loyal brother." Among the co-workers, he is short in stature, quiet, and a few words, Sounds like some of you, right? But during the turmoil in Taiwan, your father once especially came to me, talked to me, saying, these things these co-workers say, you really shouldn't believe them. Indeed, after a few years, those few so-called gifted co-workers left the Lord's recovery. Father's conduct was clean and pure, with very sensitive discernment. As soon as he contacts people using his spiritual intuition, he can tell when something is amiss. Here's the point. Looking back at Father's service, his gift wasn't obvious. Function is also not evident at first glance. But from his simple and conventional lifestyle, overflowing his appreciation of the preciousness of Christ, also his loyal yet meaningful lifelong service, deeply attracted me to follow his footsteps wholeheartedly, to serve the Lord his recovery for life under the ministry of the present age. That's a vine. No gifts, nothing outward for you to kind of pick out, that stands out, for you to comment, for you to praise. But branches in the vine, unassuming, not many know, in a hidden way, going to villages, did you hear that story? The trains, the mountain, the walks. Burning within to bring the gospel to people. But yet the gift is not obvious. The function is not evident. We're not here raising up preachers with man's teaching to do a preaching work. We're here. Let me say this real quick. I have a badge like many of you. Believe me, I've been here as much as a trainee as any of you. Because I'm standing here, you're sitting there, doesn't make me more than a branch and you less of a branch. We're all here learning together. If my wife were here, she would testify. Her and I are desperate seeking the Lord. We've been in Virginia for a few years, bringing no one in our neighborhood to the Lord. We're so desperate. And I came here. I've been receiving help after help through the brothers, through your testimony. So I'm not here speaking down to you. I'm not preaching to you. Actually, many of you are much even higher than me. No joke. You've been going to school. You've been bringing Christ to people. I honor that. I really am encouraged by that. But I want to learn together with you how we can be this way as branches in the vine to bear fruit together. Amen. With that said, let's come to the outline. Message two. Bearing fruit by enjoying the riches of Christ's life. One, according to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of life, preaching the gospel is a matter not of mere speaking or teaching, but of bearing fruit. It depends upon the riches of the life within us. We're going to come back to this. A, when branches receive a sufficient supply of life juice, they bear fruit as the overflow of the inner life supply. B, what the Lord requires in his economy is the genuine growth of life. Then out of this growth, we have an overflow of life, which is fruit that remains. So, life first, the growth of life, then the overflow of life. But here's kind of a funny testimony. There was a time when I was in college, I was my senior year, my mom gave me a book concerning how to eat the word. Okay, eat the word. And I wasn't in the church life, so I had no one to help me. I was still in Christianity, and there was no one there to help me. I read this book, and I simply could not break through and understand what the brother was saying. Okay, I got to the point that I was so frustrated. Mind you, I'm a senior in college. I went to USC. It's not a bad school. Okay, I'm studying anyway. Educated and all this. But I got so frustrated, I couldn't understand it, that this actually happened, because I kept talking about eating the word. I was like, okay. And I put the book actually in my mouth. and really tried to bite into it, okay? My whole point is, these spiritual things cannot be received by the soulish man. It doesn't make any sense to them. We should not hide behind these different times, these kinds of words. Even when we go out to speak, this is why after that, when I was in Ontario, California, and we had trainees, I told the trainees every time in the beginning of the semester, don't just assume they know what you mean when you say eating Christ. Okay, you need to tell them what that means. To eat is to take something outside of you into you so that it can become a part of your constitution organically. But in order to eat, you need to come to his word. But that's the constant word. You need to touch the living word, which is Christ, to get him inside of you. But my point of that is, we should not hide behind the terms in the ministry. If I were to select a few of you here and ask you, what are the riches of the life within the vine and now within us? How would you answer? I don't even know how you would answer, right? What are the riches? If someone asks you, you go out there, I'm enjoying the riches of Christ. What are you enjoying? Well, it's good because we're in the Gospel of Life, Gospel of John, the Gospel of Life, to use the Gospel of John to define what we mean by the riches of Christ's life. So I'm going to give you 12 aspects of this riches. And they all start the same way, okay? They all start in the same way. To abide in the true vine as a realm of life is to live in a realm of love. John 13:1-34. So the more you abide here, the first thing is you sense the love of Christ just flowing into your being. It must start here because we have so many things within us that we've built up, so many defenses, so many walls. The Lord knows that. So the first thing he will do is he will come to you in the way of love to disarm you, to melt you, to cherish you. He doesn't require anything of you. He just wants to flow into you, to soften you, okay? And this love then will constrain you to live in a different way, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. That the love of Christ constrains us. And in verse 15, so that we no longer live to ourselves, but to him who died and has been raised. Amen. So the direction, the orientation of our living begins to change once we touch the love of Christ. To abide in the vine as a realm of life is to live in a realm of joy. Joy. John 15:11. My joy may be in you, okay? One of the saddest things, and I believe many brothers can testify to this, one of the saddest things is when you come to a table meeting week after week and the same saints do not have any joy, okay? They just come there. They sit in their chair. It's like they're not touching any. They're not touching the joy of Christ. Amen. It's become, without joy, everything is a duty, okay? But rather, the Lord really wants to put joy into us. Amen. And there's a quote, and I don't know who spoke this. It might be Moody, it might be one of these, but said, nothing so confounds the world as someone who enjoys Christ. Not believe in Christ. A lot of people believe in Christ and into Christ. But nothing so confounds the world as to see someone who enjoys Christ. Christ is our real enjoyment. To abide in the true vine as a realm of life is to live in a realm of peace. Okay? Peace. John 14:27 and John 16:33. 14:27 says, my peace I give to you. 16:33, in me you may have peace. Recently, my wife and I, she's a physician, and she works for Kaiser, kind of a public system. But a private practice came to her to try to recruit her back because she has a particular skill that is kind of coveted. So they made her this tremendous offer. And her and I, being one, and we live to the Lord because of the love that's flowing from the vine, we took this matter to the Lord, and every time we considered it or talked about it, we were uneasy. We just could not get through it. Okay, we try to explain it this way, we try to explain it this way. We can use the funds to fund LM, you know, all these things. But we simply did not have the peace within us. Every time we considered it, no peace. So eventually, she told him, thank you, appreciate it, but we cannot take this offer. And I've considered this for a little bit, but I should say the actual amount. And may the Lord cover, because I think it will have more impact if you knew. When she said that, that was an abandoning of hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Hundreds. Hundreds. But I'm saying this not because to be a hero, because we have no sense that it was a heroic act. We have no sense. But neither do we just feel like this is normal. This is what it's like to live in the vine. We follow the peace that is in the vine. Okay? We don't regret anything. We have no feeling about it. It's like we don't even think about it, okay? Because we're in the vine. We're living as part of the vine. And part of that is we maintain our joy and peace. To abide in the true vine as a realm of life, it is to live in a realm of light. Light. Eventually, you'll realize the dark parts of your soul is where the enemy is hiding at. And if you don't have the light there, he will be able to manipulate all kinds of things, that part of your heart, that kind of your thinking, your emotion. And I experienced this when my wife and I were courting. We were long distance. I was West Coast. She was East Coast. And we would send these kind of, quote-unquote, spiritual emails with kind of jokes. And I said something kind of funny, and she responded the next day. But she also responded with her joke. But it offended me, okay? It offended me a little bit. But I tell you, the moment I read that, the Spirit as the light shone in, and that sensitive part, the light just blazed upon that part. That was the first time in my life I realized that was the self, the self. And the best description of it, the only way I can describe it is when you have a prison, you know the prison, they have those towers with the lights. In those cartoons, you sometimes have the prisoners who escape, right? And the light shines on them, and their silhouette and whatever, their shadow is on the wall, and they just freeze. Honestly, that was the sense. When the light came that moment, the self had nowhere to run. It can no longer hide. From then on, experience after experience, but I can testify to you, just the sense of the self is getting stronger. So you can't deny what you don't know. Matthew 16, whoever wants to come after me, let him deny himself. How can you deny what you don't know? The Lord needs to shine on you. But where will that light come from? It comes from your abiding. Amen. To abide in the vine as a realm of life is to live, okay, here's a pair, because of time, I'm going to go with a pair, in a realm of grace as number 5 and reality number 6. Grace and reality. Of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. You're just here. The transmission never stops. It's grace upon grace. You're abiding here, it's grace upon grace. You're driving, that's the illustration we've heard, you know, this week. You open to the Lord, you're abiding, it's grace upon grace. The transmission is there, and grace enables you to live in any kind of circumstance through anything. In reality, you know, in John, when the recovery version was translated initially, some brothers had a problem with John 4:24 when it says, those who worship must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Some brothers actually had an issue with that. They thought it would be better to be in truth, in reality, in spirit and in reality. But actually, sooner, one brother testified, later on he realized, actually, truthfulness is the proper interpretation. Because truthfulness is the revealed divine reality wrought into your being to become your human truthfulness. So now you are as genuine, as transparent, as real as the triune God himself is. So when brothers come to you, there's no mask, there's no pretense. They can fellowship with you because you're just transparent glass. because you're so real. You're so approachable and you're so real. And now I'm reminded of something. Many years ago, we had a coordination call, and we were just kind of starting the prayer. And Brother Paul here, I can never forget the first words he prayed in that prayer time. He said, "Lord, remove all pretension, all pretense." He realized we're going to come to fellowship. Sometimes it's hard. We're still learning the fellowship. We come with so many things. It's hard for us to be genuine with one another. May the Lord remove all pretension, but it's washed away as we abide in the vine with him as our reality. To abide in the vine, true vine, as a realm of life, is to live in a realm of shepherding. John, I forgot all these references, but you can find them, okay? But this one's John 10, 11, and 14. Shepherding is to take all-inclusive, tender care of the flock. And the Lord knows none of us are spirits. We're tripartite beings, spirit, soul, and body. So when you abide in the vine, you just have the sense the Lord is caring for you in every single way. There's the protection, there's the nourishing, there's the feeding, all from the shepherding that comes to you through the vine. To abide in the true vine as a realm of life, number 8, is to live in a realm of resurrection. Resurrection is in the vine. And I know many of you are, or you're my age, we're always thinking, oh, it's so impossible to be in resurrection. We're always so natural, according to the natural constitution, this and that. But let me give you some good encouragement. Right now, you might think it's impossible to be in resurrection. But the day is coming, it'll be impossible for you to be natural. That day is coming. We'll be brought into resurrection. That's what's on the Lord's heart. As long as we abide here, the life that entered into death, passed through death, and came out in victory is saturating us, working himself into us. We will be persons in resurrection. To abide in the true vine as a realm of life, it is to live in a realm. Now, this stuff is getting very good. It's in a realm of glory. Glory. God expressed, the expression of God. God's economy is an economy in glory. Our triune God is a God of glory. His goal is to lead many sons into glory. So he created us vessels unto glory. But we fell into sin and came short of God's glory. So Christ came, God incarnate came to accomplish redemption, to fulfill God's righteousness, holiness, and glory. So when the gospel came to us, it was the gospel of glory, 1 Timothy 1. We were saved and the Christ of glory came into us. Now we are being transformed from glory to glory. Ultimate stage of organic salvation is glorification. But to him be glory in the church. There's glory in the kingdom, and the New Jerusalem has the glory of God. But all this is worked out not by our will, not by our doing anything, but by opening to the one who is in glory and allowing him to flow into us. To abide in the true vine as a realm of life is to live in a realm of oneness. Oneness. Oneness is in a person. It is in the true vine. Do you know what oneness outside of the vine is? It's a clique. It's a sect. It's a party. Okay? And this damages the church. This is why we're so burdened that your companionship, your twos and threes, your learning to be in the vine together, be fellow branches loving one another. That is the genuine oneness, okay? Anything outside of that is kind of a religious kind of group. But we need to realize when we're in the vine, oneness is there, okay? No rivalry, no competition, no envy, just love and care for one another. To abide in the true vine as a realm of life is to live in a realm of building. So really, this is glory plus oneness equals building, the corporate expression of the triune God. But here's something very encouraging. As you abide in the vine, the person who is the vine, he utters something like this in John 2:17. The zeal of your house shall devour me. The one who is absolute for the Father's house is the vine. Now he's flowing into you to the point all you will ever care about as you're growing is to be a part of God's building. This thing will govern you. It will direct you. It will consume you. It will devour you night and day. Night and day. I testify to you. I know brothers like this. It doesn't have to just be the co-workers in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. I can testify to you. There are brothers and sisters in their 30s who are like this. Night and day, all they care about is God's building. But that's number 11. There's one more. So those who like Bible quizzes, what do you think the 12th is? Okay, don't say it out loud. Just have something in your head, okay? I know Jonah likes this kind of stuff, okay? Because as wonderful as the Father's house is, there is still something there that's equally as important. Because the Father seeks this. That is, to abide in the true vine as a realm of life is to live in a realm of worship. Worship. Because the Father, time is coming, when it is now, when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and truthfulness. For the Father also seeks such to worship him. When you're in the true vine, that's all you care about. You worship the Father. Thank you. Everything you're learning in the evening line. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, you're the righteous one. You're the holy one. God of mercy. So many things will just flow out of you. It doesn't have to just be 8 minutes every Lord's Day, worship of the Father once a week. But you live a life of worship. It comes out of you all the time. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the Son. You're the husbandman. You're taking care of the vine. I'm a branch of the vine. Thank you so much, Father. Right? Romans 1, that's the main thing, is they would not thank God, but rather we are different. As we abide in the vine, thankfulness and praise flow out. So with that said, do you see a little bit? As you abide in the vine, the riches of Christ's life is flowing into you. This is just the beginning. There's so much in the Gospel of John that we didn't even cover. You know, Brother Lee had a book, The Fulfillment of the Tabernacle and the Offerings in the Writings of John. Christ fulfills all that. All the items, the lamb, the brass serpent, the fivefold bread in John 6, the living water. So many items for us to experience, but this is just an initial kind of sense, okay, of what it's like to live in the true vine. 2, leading people to salvation does not involve things that are miraculous. Rather, it is according to the law of fruit bearing. What's so miraculous of a plant, right? Not much, because they function according to the law, okay? A, fruit bearing is not miraculous in nature. Rather, it is according to the law of life. B, in order to experience, listen, in order to experience the law of life, we must fulfill certain requirements. We need to abide in the Lord and absorb his supply. If you don't know what it means to abide, just ask the Lord. Lord, what does it mean to abide in you? According to 1 Corinthians 1:30, this is a divine fact, but of him we are in Christ Jesus. This has been accomplished once and for all. But how do I abide here? How do I live here all the time, right? Abide is to dwell. You're not just visiting the vine for a few minutes every day. You're learning to live in the vine, allow him to express himself out of the vine, out of the branches. So you ask the Lord, Lord, what does it mean to absorb your supply? We need to abide in the Lord and absorb the supply of God the Father, underline God the Father, as the soil that provides the nutrients, and the supply of the Spirit, underline Spirit, as the rain that waters and refreshes. I forgot to ask you, also underline Lord. So you have Lord, God the Father, and Spirit. Does that look very good? It's the triune God, okay? All of this is just to bring us into the experience and enjoyment of the triune God. 3, we need to abide in the Lord and absorb God as our light and the Spirit as our air. So let's keep breathing the Lord. Amen. Amen. We need to abide in the Lord and live in the church. Underline in the church or the church. as the garden of God so that we can be nurtured and protected. You are brought into the experience and enjoyment of the triune God at a certain point in your experience. He will actually, in a sense, stop for a little bit because he no longer just wants to nourish you as an individual believer. He will cause you to seek the God who is the house, the God who is the God of the house of God, the God who is in the house, okay? Some people might argue, oh, God is everywhere, omnipresent, he's everywhere on the mountaintop, to the depths of the sea, wherever. But actually, the revelation in the New Testament is that God has localized himself in the church. So you need to be in a local church to find God. So if you sense your enjoyment of the Lord, the God and Spirit as the soil, the water, and all this is starting to diminish, check your church life, okay? Because he is in the church. And when you come back to the church, where you're in the church, all of this will be yours in a richer way. See, when there is the proper cooperation, much fruit can be born. Thus, we all must learn to responsibly cooperate with the law of fruit-bearing. So we're not exempt. No serving one is exempt. I tell you, again, I'd like to be one with you to learn to responsibly cooperate. And finally, D, as long as we labor according to the law, this law, it will be very easy to bring people to the Lord. Don't put people ahead of the Lord. Begin with enjoying the Lord, okay? Then the Lord will direct you to the people, okay? Our time here is not to bring you into an activity. It's to bring you to something personal and affectionate. And then out of that, you have the burden to contact people. But lastly, in section 3 is the application. We need to abide in the Lord in order to bear much fruit. A and B, to abide in the Lord means that there is no insulation or distance between us and him. There's nothing between us and the Lord. It is possible, and this is true, I believe every word of this sentence. It is possible to preach and still be insulated from Christ. But to have the overflow of the inner life, we must abide in the Lord. People are preaching every Sunday from pupils, from their pew and stuff, insulated from Christ. This is happening everywhere, okay? But look, if I ask you, what is some insulation? Again, it might be hard for you. So we should not hide behind these terms. So again, we're in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Life. We need to have a clear view about this. In John chapter 1, all the way through chapter 10, the main opposition there, it's in the life study, is from religion. When you come to chapter 11 and 12, that is the illustration of the miniature of the church life, the house in Bethany, the house of feasting. And there, Brother Lee says, the main frustration to the life and the growth in life is our opinions. Our opinions. The greatest insulation to the Lord is our opinion. We have a view of how things should be, what God's will should be for me, God's way that he does it, and God's timing. We have a lot of opinions. The first moment any of these opinions come up, as your spirit gets stronger, you will have a sense. The grace upon grace, the ceaseless flow is now being interrupted. There's a hindrance there. Because in that chapter, in chapter 11, you have the opinions of the disciples, then the opinions of Martha, then the opinions of Mary, then the opinions of the people, the Jews, the opinions of Martha again. Again and again, in the picture of the church life, the Lord as resurrection life was unable to be manifested because he was being, quote-unquote, insulated and frustrated and bothered by human opinions. So an application, why do we have to go and this is very element, I realize, but we have to learn from this level. My opinion, it's not convenient, Lord, for me to do this. Look at that person. He has Wendy tattooed on his neck. We have a lot of opinions of what the Lord wants to do, okay? That's for the gospel side. How about the growth in life? You know, when When the Lord was distributing the food to the 5,000, they had to sit in groups of hundreds and fifties. They had no choice. I'd like to sit with Timothy. Let's go start our own little plot. Or, you know, Samuel and all these ones. Let's go do our own thing. But they honored the arrangement. Because God's economy is arrangement, then dispensing, then corporate expression. The arrangement is a big deal. May we open to the Lord. Lord, is there any insulation here? Is there anything that I just am not agreeing you with? Lord, shine on me. Forgive me. I'd like to say amen to you. Your will, your way, and your timing. So A and B, that's opinion, okay? C and D, as you contact people on the campuses, you must have the deep sense, and the full realization that you are abiding in the Lord. The Lord has a way to let you know whether you're abiding or not, okay? He'll give you a deep sense, a sense within you, okay? When you talk to people, sorry, let me come back to that. I need to be more accurate. He'll give you a sense. If you're not abiding, you'll have a sense. When you're abiding, it'll just be the flow. But when you're not abiding, the deep sense may be on the negative side. You're empty, you're dry, you're irritable, you're in darkness. The deep sense is not always positive. It can be negative, okay? He'll give you a deep sense whether or not you're abiding, okay? When you talk to people, you must talk to them by abiding in him. When we abide in the Lord, he speaks in our speaking. And our speaking is his speaking. This is the imparting of life, the overflow of life from within. So the overflow is from your speaking. That's why we're getting into the book, The Divine Speaking. If I were to ask you, how do we actually overflow the life? We have the life within, the growth of life. The overflow is in our speaking, but it's not common human speaking. It's the divine speaking. And the divine speaking is just the Christ in you speaking in and through you. So these ones will have a sense. There's something, they can't describe it. There's something different here. But actually, it's the Christ in you who's speaking, okay? So C and D is on speaking. So number one, we need to shine on about our opinions, let go of our opinions. Number two, we need to be one with the Lord to speak. And lastly, number E. We can only speak what has been constituted into our being. The word of God, the word in Greek has two. It has logos and rhema. The logo is the constant word. That is the Bible. That is the life study. And that's the printed material in the ministry. That is the constant word. It's there, always available to us. That's the logos. The Spirit will never speak apart from the logos. Okay, the constant. This is why you need an accumulation of the truth into your being so that the Spirit can apply any part of that logos, and when it's spoken out, it becomes rhema. But rhema comes out of the logos. You will not have rhema apart from the logos. This is why our burden is not for you to get into the life study to check off as something you have done. Our burden is that you would finish the life study perhaps by the time you are 35, so you have 40 to 50 years to minister the constitution that is within you. To enrich the churches. It's not just, oh, Lord, when you meet the Lord, I did this, I did that. We need a whole generation of brothers, especially the brothers and sisters, who can do this. That every time you open up your mouth, it's just the governing vision of the Bible. It's a central vision of Paul's completing ministry. It's the central line of the divine revelation. You're not speaking funny things. You're not trying to make a laugh. You're not trying to be amusing. We don't track people that way. It has to be the word and the interpretive word that is wrought into your being. That's why for some of you, may the Lord bring you to the training to give you a taste of this. And let me just end here. Let me just say something here. I went into the full-time training in 2004. And I can testify before the Lord and before your conscience, I never left the training. I have never known what civilian life is like after that. It is with me all the time. Amen. The spirit of the training is with me all the time. Amen. For some of you, I hope it's not you go in and come out, you graduate the training. I graduate the training. I graduate the training. Actually, you go in and you never come out. Amen. That is our heart for you. Yes. Because we need people like this who go in. Lastly, E, we all must go to reach people. Whether we have the overflow of life or not, we must still contact people. If we do not reach people, we will have no way of knowing where we are. Okay, what I'm about to say here is not so apparent, but just receive it. This point in its essence is a matter of faith. At the end of the time, at the end of the day, it's not about our emotion. It's not about this and that. We say, Lord, I simply believe in you. I believe that you are. According to the word, you're the true vine. I'm a branch. I'm in you. I just exercise faith. I have no feeling here. I don't feel like I'm so up, overflowing, bubbling that I'm going to go out and speak now. We're not driven by emotions up and down. We see someone, Lord, I'm one spirit with you. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Lord, we go in your name, in your person. I'm one with you. And you just open your mouth, speak the divine speaking, drop all your opinions, and let the life that is within you flow. Amen. So young people, actually, you know, I was telling the brother, I've never used the term young people for college students until I heard it this week. But our heart for you is that you would just open and allow the triune God to work himself into you. And as you abide, this life will grow normally. And out of this abiding, you will be able to contact your friends and bring much fruit. But not for ourselves, but for the Father, who is the husbandman. Because in 2 Timothy 2, it says, the farmer must be the first one to partake of the fruit. Oh, Father, we just want to offer you fruit for your satisfaction. Amen. We live for God's satisfaction. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray with our neighbor for a minute, and then Brother Bobby will tell us what to do.